Shabbat Shalom. As I was walking home recently, a scene unfolded in front of me, a memorable slice of everyday life. Two people ran into each other's embrace. They hugged with such intensity that I was drawn to the scene and I stepped closer. Their faces seemed to be filled with light. Truly, they were sparkling. As I walked by, I heard one say to the other, "Let's not pretend this is a small thing. It's been 3 months since we last saw each other." As they gazed lovingly into each other's eyes, they seemed oblivious to the cars whizzing right beside them and busy New Yorkers trying to make their way around them. It was just a small moment of reunion, a familiar experience to many of us. Such a powerful moment brings out pure joy, the kind of joy that makes the world just a little bit brighter, as if you are suddenly existing in a moment of suspension, a snow globe full of sparkles. It made me think of Moses as he returned from his encounter with God, coming down the mountain, his face shining and glowing as radiant light poured forth from him. Perhaps encountering love is somehow related to encountering God. We get a glimmer of this in the scene between Jacob and Esau after they have a reunion after many years. We read, "Esau ran to greet Jacob. He embraced him, and falling on his neck, he kissed him, and they wept. Jacob said, 'To see your face is like seeing the face of God.'" Often, when we encounter a loved one in a moment of openness, when we are truly in touch with our feelings, we can almost feel transformed by the depth of emotion. Martin Buber wrote that when people fully take in one another and are present to the moment of encounter, this unmediated experience can be so powerful, it can seem as if God is fully present in that moment. We've all had some experience of feeling deep love in one form or another, whether for parents, children, partners, friends, pets, and so on. We've had experiences in which love suddenly and intensely appears. We don't do anything to make it happen. We can't force it. How do we honor these experiences throughout our lifetimes? How do we make love last? How do we love well? In this week's Torah portion, Va'et Hanan, we have the text of the Ve'ahavta, the central paragraph of the Shema. Ve'ahavta means, "and you shall love." And yet on its surface, it's a bold commandment to love God, followed by a pretty dry set of instructions as to when and where to study Torah. And yet we can argue that this is in fact one of our most important texts on how to love well. The Ve'ahavta teaches us that love needs to be enacted, that we are to recite the Shema when we are at home, when we're away, when we lie down, when we wake up. In this way, the prayer teaches us that we need to practice loving through our actions every day and everywhere. The real practice of cultivating a relationship is the day-to-day work. It's the small gestures of kindness. It's the times that we need to put someone else's needs before our own. The Ve'ahavta teaches us that loving is an everyday, conscientious commitment that can never be taken for granted. Loving is an action. Loving is acting on behalf of another, of considering their needs as central. And loving well is a way of building space for holiness. Just as the Israelites built a sanctuary for God, we make space for love. And love, in turn, brings holiness into our lives. Yet loving can be challenging. It can be complicated. Sometimes the object of our love is not acting in alignment with our values. We are faced with the challenge of loving while disagreeing, loving while angered, loving while hurt. This past week, we observed Tisha B'Av, the lowest point of our Jewish calendar, when we mourn our communal losses and dwell on the brokenness of our world. The rabbis teach that sinat chinam, baseless hatred, and Jewish disunity led to the destruction of the temples in Jerusalem and the subsequent Jewish exile that lasted close to 2,000 years. And now, we are witnessing Israeli society being pulled apart once again. This past week, a major judicial reform passed in the Knesset. Many Israelis view this as a significant blow to democracy. Protests have erupted throughout Israel, with many Israelis joining picket lines and refusing to perform military duty in the reserves. They protest in the name of love, carrying Israeli flags and speaking out on behalf of a democratic Israel. The Shabbat that follows Tisha B'Av is called Shabbat Nachamu, the Shabbat of consolation, of comfort. We are emerging from the lowest point of the year and beginning to make the journey towards Rosh Hashanah, a time of new beginnings. On Shabbat Nachamu, we open our hearts with love and compassion. We look for connection, for common ground, for mutual understanding. History teaches us that when Jewish people are in conflict with one another, we suffer. Let our generation serve as a model for working towards mutual respect and consensus. The late Rabbi Jonathan Sacks said, "The answer, and it is fundamental, is that God does not live in buildings. God lives in builders. God lives not in structures of stone, but in the human heart. May that love guide us and reunite us. Shabbat Shalom."